The Last Word with Matt Cooper.
So he's not on the 5 of 5 today. So Ben Finnegan is with us for the week trending alongside Sarah McGuinness, who has moved job to be the new political correspondent at the Irish Daily Mail. Thank you both very much for joining us. And Sarah, start for a political job. You didn't get the nod as yet to go off to Washington with Taoiseach Simon Harris this week. But it was really interesting as to how a video and photographs of the encounter between the Taoiseach and President Joe Biden in the Oval Office emerged, because I was under the understanding this was supposed to be a photo-free zone.
As were the Irish press, Matt. No Irish press were allowed in the Oval Office with Taoiseach Simon Harris and President Joe Biden. It was only Simon Harris's officials and a selection of Biden's officials that were allowed in the room. And the Taoiseach knew this before going over. So he got accreditation for one of his staff members to film and record the start of their meeting and take photos while they were in there. Now, bearing in mind, there was an official photographer and videographer in there. So, like, there was going to be some evidence of it, but I think maybe...
And that's all he went for, wasn't it? I mean, okay, the cynic would suggest that all a Taoiseach goes for is the photo op and to be get the chance to set foot. I mean, they say 15 minutes of fame, 30 minutes in the Oval Office is twice as good.
That's true, that's true. And Louise Byrne actually kind of put that to him at a press conference over there. Louise Byrne of the Irish Mirror, she kind of said, like, oh, you know, you've been here less than 48 hours, you got less than an hour with Biden, you know, that kind of, what, like the big event that he was meant to go over for to mark the 100 years of relations between Ireland and the US was cancelled. Like, could this be seen as a photo opportunity in the run-up to a general election? And he strongly refuted it. But one thing, and obviously I'm only in Leinster House 2 weeks now, but I find the... you know, like, politicians are fascinating people, and I find the ones who become career politicians even more fascinating. Because if you look like at someone like Micheál Martin, Micheál had a career and a life before going into Leinster House. Not to say he doesn't have either of those things.
He was only a teacher for a little while. He was still in his 20s when he went in there.
Yeah, but at least kind of, you know, he wasn't in his, like, he wasn't 24, just out of college kind of thing, you know, like, he wasn't 24, had been working as a parliamentary assistant. He, like, had...
And Simon Harris didn't even finish his degree. He was so keen to get into Leinster House.
Yeah, so I find it kind of interesting, I suppose, what a visit like this might mean to him. You know, obviously, before he took over the office of Taoiseach, Fine Gael was not polling as well as it is now. So he kind of went in there assuming that he was going to have 1 year really at this. He was only guaranteed a year. If even he could call an early general election and have to put a stop to it sooner. So I suppose for him, it's an important moment, probably personally, but also in his career as well.
We only first heard of this 100-year anniversary of Irish-American relations, what, 2-3 weeks ago at the UN General Assembly, when suddenly it became this big thing that they're going to go to the Rose Garden and have this big commemoration, and Simon Harris was going to get to the Oval Office. It seems very coincidental that... You know,
in fairness, there is an event the week after next in Dublin in the US Embassy as well to mark the 100 years.
There's been no fanfare about it. Nobody's really mentioned it. They haven't really drove home that or the fact. Like when St. Patrick's Day, just gone, they didn't mention, oh, that's the 99th. Next year, it's going to be the 100th year to commemorate all that. So it seems a bit superficial. That
you're being very cynical here, Ben. Are you thinking that the TikTok Taoiseach was just looking for a video and photo opportunity?
Not
and are you going to raise the air miles that Eamon Ryan and Roderick O'Gorman might have worried about in taking a flight over for such a short visit?
Not just him. There was also the reported comments of Joe Biden, where he said that he's British. So he may have to...
That was Boris Johnson said that. You don't believe a Boris Johnson. Well, remember as well, there was a BBC journalist who tried to get a comment from Biden and he was sent away with a flea in his ear because Biden said, I'm Irish. Just because Boris Johnson makes up a story, are you going to believe it?
Well, I'm not going to believe it. It's out there. He was the British Prime Minister. He's as a credible source.
He's an incredible source. He has lied about nearly everything.
He's as credible as a former US president.
That particular US president, yeah, possibly, which means incredible.
Yeah. So, look, it's out there. It's coincidental that they're trying to orchestrate elections on both sides. It was probably working to everyone's benefit, and it just came out of nowhere. And then,
well, this listener here says there's been a number of events in the US embassy to celebrate the 100 years, and I do know of one that's going on the week after next. So... It's not just plucked out of thin air to suit our Taoiseach, I think, Ben.
Well, not just to suit the Taoiseach, to also suit the American president, or the American Taoiseach, if you want to call him that.
And to be fair, like, you know, like, it's from a politician's perspective, it was a good move to do, you know, regardless of who suggested it, which we actually don't know if it was coming from Biden's side or Harris's side, as for the, you know, to for Harris to go over. But from Simon Harris's point of view, this was a very good move. He got over to see the, like, outgoing president of the United States, and, you know, he got his photo op, regardless of...
But does that actually matter anything to anyone back in Ireland outside of politics? Is anyone going to vote for...
No, it doesn't, but it does matter to people inside of politics.
Well, let's bring us on to the next item. Does it matter to anyone else outside of Leinster House as to who might be the Russian spy? This is a story we spoke to John Mooney of the Sunday Times about on Monday's programme. And then Timmy Dooley did, I suppose, what you could call a reverse Spartacus. Instead of getting up and saying, "I'm Spartacus to protect everybody else," he got up and angrily denied that he was a spy. Let's hear him and Malcolm Byrne.
Some rumours circulating that members of the upper house have been involved with Russia, and that there may or may not be a spy in our midst.
Careful,
I think I'll manage this one. I think it's important that in order to avoid any potential stain on this house, that members would voluntarily make a statement that they are not the subject of any investigation, or that they have never been in the clutches of Russia.
Margaret.
And before I sit down, I can declare that I'm not such a person, that I hope everybody will use the opportunity ensure that they declare that they're not a Russian spy.
And I too, Senator Dooley, am like you, not one of those people either, so... That's okay. Thank you, Anish and Shannon Maria Byrne.
I want to declare I'm not one of the media. So that's start number four.
Can I also say that I am not a spy, and I have no doubt that Senator Dooley isn't a Russian spy either himself, and Cathal Crowe
Thank
are
you.
Spending
We're
so much time
business.
Keeping an eye on each
Thank
other.
You.
The Russians wouldn't be up to them.
Thank you.
So you could take it from that to Timmy Dooley has never been caught in a honey trap.
I take them on their word, but that's exactly what a spy would say.
It is. The Shannon has been alive this week, both in the Shannon, but also in the halls of Leinster House, talking about who the spy is. It really has captured the attention of everyone.
But it's inside in Leinster House. I wonder, does anyone outside of Leinster House give a damn? And to be honest, a spy do what? I mean, in fairness, what influence does a senator actually have? I mean, what gossip is a senator going to pick up that would be of use to Russian intelligence? What influence over decisions does a senator have?
But Matt, I wouldn't be underplaying the significance of it, I suppose. You know, like, Putin, as we all know, not a good guy, not a nice person. And, like, obviously in this instance, it doesn't really seem to have had any effect. But, you know, like, we've seen in recent weeks, like, there has been so much back and forth, and obviously this is a separate issue, but, you know, whether Pascal Donoghue was on the phone with, you know, an Israeli delegate before, you know, they're like, and to talk about the transportation of arms through Shannon, you know, like, there has been so much back and forth recently about who our politicians are talking to and why. And I suppose having someone who might have someone from Russia in their ear, and for the upper levels of the Dáil to not know about that, or indeed the Shannon. Like, that is, like, we do not want someone who is, I think the word colluding is slightly strong, but colluding with Putin, like, it's just not...
I did find it remarkable that the Taoiseach just said that he nor the Taoiseach had been briefed about it.
Like, maybe because it's not important enough?
Possibly. So why are we talking about it? And why...
But because we've had magnificent statements by the likes of the brave Timmy Dooley telling us that they're not Russian spies.
But we do not take security of the Irish Parliament particularly seriously as a country. And, like, I'm not saying that we should, but I'll give you one example. A journalist I was talking to basically was saying, God, they're really cracking down on security in Leinster House recently. Usually they let me in and I don't even have to show my badge. They just let me in. And she was like, wonder what all that's about now. I don't think there's any other parliament in the Western world where anyone would get in without having to show some form of identification. We all do now, just to clarify.
Well, but there was hold on a second. Leinster House fobs for expenses have been lost or broken 148 times by TDs and senators. I wonder, did the Russian spy lose his fob and give it to somebody else to gain access to Leinster House?
Now, when you look into that story, it's 148 times across, what, near to 150 TDs and senators over a four-year period.
But that it's the public purse, Ben.
But it was one fob per TD or senator over a four-year period.
Who hasn't lost their fob?
For this funding, I've had three fobs in the last year.
I only worked, I worked in Bauer Media for a year. I lost my fob three times.
Yeah, it's an easy thing to do.
So you're now being sympathetic to the wasters of the fobs and Leinster House?
Well, like, it's a fob. Fobs are easily lost. I don't even know where my own fob is now.
Look, there's just an obsession at the minute with how public money is being spent.
Yeah.
I think everyone's on the hunt for another bike shed fiasco.
Yeah, there's a listener who says, the senator's calling out, I'm not the Russian spy, was more like the young offenders, I'm Billy Murray, than Spartacus. Of course, the other person who got involved in Irish politics this week was the Hulk, actor Mark Ruffalo. And he called out the Green Party over the planning bill which went through Leinster House. Let's just hear a little bit of what he said to the Irish actor Alison Oliver about amendments to legislation, the planning bill, which he believed could then allow for the construction of LNG terminals.
Hey, I need your help. You know, the Irish Green Party is about to do something really terrible to the environment and our climate.
Oh no, what is it?
Well, they're trying to jam through a bill to fast-track building liquid natural gas terminals that would import fracked gas from the United States, and I need you to help me tell the Irish people all about it.
Gas terminals?
Yeah. And what's worse is that the Green Party, which promised the voters that they would stop the import of fracked gas and LNG when they joined the coalition government in 2020. But since then, they've been opening the door for the Irish government to build an LNG terminal in the Shannon Estuary of all places.
Oh, wow. Green Party breaking their environmental promises. You can't make this stuff up.
I know. You can't. You can't make this stuff up. So what do we do? You want to help me get the word out?
Yes, of course. I wouldn't want to make you angry.
You know me so well.
He's a four-time Oscar nominee. That is a ridiculous performance.
And what's with the music?
Oh, it's awful. It's awful. Like, that's not the first time he's got involved in this. I know
he's been on this program talking about it 5 years ago.
A few years ago. And yeah, it's fine to be passionate about LNG and the potential for LNG. But like, you know, Mark Ruffalo is saying one thing. Any Green Party member who is asked this week denied that they're supporting LNG. There is, the possibility of it in the future, but it's a planning bill which is 900 pages long, and we have to safeguard for the future and every eventuality, I suppose.
And it's to do with as well, like, Ireland's creaking energy infrastructure and the fact that, you know, there might come a time when, you know, we will not be able to the electricity that's on the grid will not be enough to power the whole country, and we will need to have reserves.
Like, if Mark Ruffalo is listening right now, instead of putting your energy into making trashy little videos saying don't do this, how about endorse offshore wind energy? Why don't you invest in offshore wind energy outside of Ireland or off the coast of Ireland? Why don't you do that? Instead you're saying don't do this.
So let's talk about the idea that Portugal has, Sarah, to try and stop what they regard as a brain drain, young people leaving the country to go elsewhere.
Yeah, so the FT reported this week, Matt, that Portugal is planning to turn itself into a low tax haven for young adults by offering a decade of tax breaks to people starting their careers. And it's basically to kind of counter the growing trend of young people leaving the country. I believe they described it as a youth-friendly tax system, which is kind of hilarious. But yeah, basically how it would work, it's over 10 years. So it would mean that the first year of the first of the 10 years, the young person would pay no tax at all. For years 2 to 4, they would be exempted from 75% of tax due. for years 5 to 7, they would be exempt for 50% of tax due, and then they would get a quarter off their tax bill in years 8 to 10.
And it's a gamble then that by the time they get to that age, they won't want to be moving abroad anymore and they'd be happy to pay the full taxes.
Yeah, it kind of is then basically, because there's no real mention of like incentives to kind of move people to, you know, keep them there, like in terms of longer term. Now, you know, like it's kind of a weird one because the IMF, the International Monetary Fund, has actually come out on this and said that it's uncertain that kind of fiscal incentives are enough to keep young people where they are. And when you think about that, I don't know, I suppose when I'm thinking about it, you know, like as I've talked about at length and get absolutely ripped into for talking about it, but a lot of my friends have emigrated, and from the perspective of someone who is of a generation, like globally, just of in the age bracket where emigration is quite a prominent trend, it does take a bit more than, I suppose, you know, less, more money in your bank.
Okay, but hang on.
To keep
your generation, like your mid-20s, yeah, if even that, right? And, okay, I'm trying to be polite here.
No,
I'm saying what your age is,
no,
right? But,
thank you.
Okay, you are on a good income,
yeah,
but you're having the same problem that many people of your age group have, which is rent or not being able to buy a house. The only,
yeah,
issue is, that's the same really every country,
no,
for anyone
is
of
and
their 20s.
I'm saying this here and I'm still kind of like, oh, this is like a bit miserable. But say if you're someone in Portugal and you're earning minimum wage or the average wage, which is about €4.38 per hour, you know, what good is, like, you're not, you still aren't going to have a whole lot of money. What if all of your friends are moving to Spain or say here where minimum wage is nearing €13 an hour? Is it €13 an hour? It's in and around
it's
that mark.
€13.50 after the,
yeah,
budget.
Why on earth would you stay there if all of your friends are elsewhere, if you get me? You know?
Hold on, isn't the issue for an awful lot of young people at present who do emigrate that they see it as a stepping stone in life, that they're going for a number of years with the intention of coming back, that it's not actually as in previous generations been forced by the fact that there are no jobs here in Ireland and no income, that it is more of let's travel and see the world and do other things.
If this was implemented in Ireland, I don't think it would make much difference to the numbers who are going to certainly Australia or anything like that, because like there are some people who are going as economic migrants to Australia, but a lot of them are going for experience, and they know that they're going to come back in 2 years because they're not coming back. A lot of them aren't coming back with too much money that they wouldn't make here anyway.
Yeah, and as the listener makes the point, no one in their early 20s has ever been able to afford to buy their own homes.
No, we're not getting into this nonsense of comparing this generation.
Oh, Ben, that 4 o'clock start you had this morning is not suiting you.
No, we're not getting into that now.
I'm only reading a listener's comment.
Yeah, well, keep your comments to yourself.
No, sorry, I fear I veered slightly off. I was not using that as an opportunity to be like, boo-hoo, everyone in the early 20s is terribly off.
This listener does.
But anyway, what I'm trying to say is it's unlikely that this is going to work. It's not even known if the budget will get signed off on in the Portuguese Parliament.
And it's open to everyone.
And
so
yeah,
let's all move to Portugal.
It is, yeah. Well, not the elders, Ben,
all
but
right,
anyone.
Okay, but let's just finish with something else. I think you want to talk art installations, Ben, don't you?
Yeah, this beer can, which was thrown away in a Dutch museum by a construction worker who just saw a beer can lying on the floor and thought, obviously, this is rubbish. Threw it in and some of the curators noticed it gone and found it in a bin. Why is a beer can art?
See, this reminds me, there was a famous old sketch, and this is going back to 30 years ago, Scrap Saturday, was the thing that Dermot Morgan did before he became Father Ted. And he did a very, very funny sketch once of Mike Murphy, who was presenting an arts show at the time on RT, which, you know, people thought it was surprising that Mike Murphy would do it. But basically, he went in and he started wondering about this wonderful display on the wall in an art gallery, which actually was the fire extinguisher, but he was interpreting it as being a wonderful art installation.
If you want to see a lovely art installation of cans, I have a bucket of them at the back of my house.
You're not putting your bins out?
No, but I'm...
The deposit return scheme.
I'm not putting my bins out. I'm putting the bins out. But I'm bringing them back to the shop to get the refund because... you know, what's the difference between my mound of cans at the back and these two cans.
To be fair, I actually can't believe I was about to start that. To be fair, according to this article, they were meticulously painted.
Ah, come on!
So
now.
It's not like they were just two rogue beer cans.
Have you looked at the Guinness can?
Them.
It's lovely.
They are. They're beautiful. Don't get me wrong. They're beautiful. But also, they were left in like an elevator or lift or something. Like, and they were like, "Oh, we wanted to surprise the visitors to the gallery."
It was a surprise.
Yeah, but also,
someone's been on the piss.
The beer cans are unharmed and have now been placed on a plinth.
Very good news to finish. Right, okay. Thank you very much, Sarah McGuinness from the Irish Daily Mail, and Ben Finnegan, who's on a day off doing the 5 of 5 and 6 and 6 because he was up on air from about 4 o'clock this morning. And that accounts for why one listener says he sounds like a briar today.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Weekdays from 4:30. Today.